Morning. Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. If you are able, please stand for the reading of the gospel. The scripture reading comes from Luke 12:49-50. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Now, one of the things I want to quickly address before we get into the sermon is that we will be having, not this Monday, but next Monday, a called administrative council meeting. And everyone's invited to come, okay? So one of the things we're going to talk about is money. Now, I always say that because that always gets a lot of people to come. But this time, we really are going to talk about money. It's a funny thing when you start, when people of God get this thing called hope, they start to dream big dreams. And that makes a lot of work for the pastor. But that's okay. We'll work our way through it. And I want you to come. I want you to come with a spirit of generosity. I want you to come with a desire to openly and honestly talk about this. I know anytime you talk about money, you're going to get all kinds of different responses to it. But one of the things I think that is so important for us is that if we are going to be a family of faith, we're going to lead in this world, and we need to conduct ourselves in a mature way. We need to come and understand that not everybody's going to see eye to eye with us, but that's okay, because the prayer here is that everybody gets heard. Everybody may not be agreed with, but at least you got heard, and that's what's important. And so I want to encourage you to come forth. You know, if you do, if you don't, you know, don't worry about it. But if this is something you're interested in, come on, be a part of it. And we will conduct ourselves in a mature way, a way in which Christ would be proud. No matter what our decision is, it's not a foregone conclusion. It's going to be one that we come and talk about. So I want you to be a part of that. I give thanks for this day. I give thanks for this time to be together. One of the things you may know, and one of the things I could preach about today, is bats. I could go on ad nauseum about bats right now. I learned more about bats this last week than I ever really wanted to know. Matter of fact, if you look out in the parking lot, you'll notice there's a big cherry picker there, and that's not because Jason wants to trim more trees, all right? They're going to be using that to seal our building up so when we get our bats out, they don't come back in. That's one of the problems we're dealing with as well, just to let you know, and you heard Karen's announcements about that. There was a bishop who spoke in chapel at Yale University. He spoke for 15 minutes on how the Y in Yale stood for youth. Then he spoke for another 15 minutes about how the A stood for ambition, the L stood for leadership, and the E stood for energy. After an hour, everyone was bored to tears. As the bishop finished his message, a student came and knelt in prayer at the altar. The bishop was so impressed, he asked, "Son, what was it about my message that moved you so much that you came down here to pray?" The student said, "Bishop, actually, I'm just here thanking God that the name of our school isn't the Massachusetts Institute of Technology." Now, hopefully this message won't be too long, but I do pray that this sermon will be a little bit like Tabasco. You know, fiery, give you a heartburn, but not the heartburn that we relate to with gas. No, I mean the heartburn that comes because of a divine fire that is in the depths of our soul. So I want to ask you that question. Are you fired up for Jesus? You know, theologians have debated for centuries the question, why did Jesus come to earth? What was the purpose of the incarnation? I believe Jesus directly answers this question several times. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." In Luke 19:10, "The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. In Matthew 20:28, Jesus said, "The Son of Man has come to give his life as a ransom for many." And in today's scripture, Jesus says so clearly, "I have come to bring fire on the earth. And how I wish that it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo. And how distressed I am until it is completed." Jesus came to bring fire to the earth. Now, the Greek word for bring fire can also be translated to cast fire or to throw fire. Did you get that? Jesus came to be a holy flamethrower. Not literal fire, spiritual fire. He is speaking of the burning, exciting, dynamic presence of God in our lives and in our church. In Scripture, God reveals God's self many times through physical representation. And this physical representation is called a theophany. Theophany just means the appearance of God. And fire is the most common theophany. Now, there are several definitive statements about God in the Bible. You'll hear things like, God is holy, God is light, God is love, God is spirit. And these things are true. That's not necessarily a theophany. Those are simile and metaphor. But when God shows up and God is present, and that presence is represented as fire or whatever the case may be, that is a theophany. Think about it. Old Testament. God spoke to Moses in what? Burning bush. God appears to the Israelites as fire on the mountain. In the tabernacle that Moses builds, the first offering is consumed by God's presence in the form of fire. In the New Testament, Luke 3:16. I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. These are theophanies. Or even that first Easter when Cleopas and his companion are walking the road to Emmaus and the resurrected Jesus comes before them and they don't recognize him. It's not until Jesus actually breaks the bread that they turn and they look at each other and they say, "Weren't our hearts on fire as he talked to us about the scriptures?" My friends, God's fire generates unlimited power. I want you to think for a minute about fire. Fire only burns when it has heat, fuel, and oxygen. If you take one of those away, the fire goes out. We must tend the fire in order to keep that fire burning. Leviticus 6:12 says, "The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offerings on the fire." If you don't tend your fire, it will burn itself out. Sadly, this happens to us quite often in our spiritual lives. And so I want to ask you that question again. Are you on fire for Christ? Do you feel a burning in your soul? If you do, praise God. If you don't, then we just need to ask the question, why? And it's a good question to ask. It's a question we ought to be asking every day. What's going on in my life that's keeping me from feeling the very presence of God and God's love and God's grace, God's power within who I am? I heard about a preacher who served a little church. On one winter Sunday, he arrived early and he turned off the gas that went into the church. Now, the furnace, the heater, kept running. The fan kept blowing, but there was no hot air to circulate. You could hear the swish of the fan, but the building was cold. The sermon that Sunday was, "The blower's still blowing, but the fire's gone out. I think that happens to us. Our blower still blows, but our fire is out. Or what about the pastor who was out and about and he met a man who introduced himself? And the man said, "Hey, pastor, I'm a member of your church." And the pastor said, "You know, I've been there 3 years, and I don't think I've ever seen you in worship." And the man replied, "Well, I said I was a member, not a fanatic." My friends, we do need to be on fire for Christ. And it's okay. To be fanatical about Jesus is okay. What do we do? What do we do if that fire is cool? You know, in my own personal life, I can tell you this. My fire goes out. It goes out on a regular basis. And I have to keep tending that fire. I have to keep putting fuel on it. I have to keep making sure that the Holy Spirit is blowing over it. I have to make sure that there's enough wood for me. We need to be conscious of our own spiritual life and where we are. Many years ago, I went to a spiritual advisor, and I talked about the fact that I felt like my fire had gone out. And I remember what she said to me. She said, "You know what? You need to find those things that are going to feed that fire. You need to find those things, those spiritual disciplines." She said, "Think back in your life. Think back to the times when you felt close to God." I said, "You know, I do. I can see this time. You know, a few years ago when I was really on fire, when my prayer life, you know, I'd wake up praying. I'd go throughout my day praying. I'd pray at night. I had a little journal, and I'd write things down. You know, I wasn't a really good journaler, but I wrote names down and things I needed to pray for. I remember I was making sure to read my Bible. I was around the body of Christ and the people of God." And I said, is that what you're talking about?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, all I really need to do is go back and pick those things up." And she said, "You know what? It's great, but one of the things you're going to find out as you go back to try to pick those things up, some of those things in the exact form that you used to use are not going to work for you anymore." And she could see this blank expression on my face, which I normally have, but she could see in the course of that discussion there was something going on there. And she said to me, "You are a different person now than you were 2 years ago. And so you can't expect the absolute same thing to happen to you. What you need to be open to is that if you go back and you start reading the Bible, be open to the Holy Spirit doing a new thing in your life. Be open to God doing something different, even though you're doing the same thing. There's something dynamic that's going to happen. If you go back and you start praying, understand there's something going to happen. It may not be the exact same thing. And it's okay. Because you're a different person. And God is going to reach out and touch you in a way that you're going to understand. In a way that makes meaning and sense to you right now in the present. God's mercies are new. Same God, same love, different us, different experience. And that's good, because that keeps the fire burning. And that's what we need. We need desperately, not just to talk about our faith, not just to say we're a member of a church, but to practice our faith and to live it out. We need to do the things, those simple things that keep us close. Those things that can be understood as a means of God expressing grace to us. Reading the Bible. What about fasting? Anybody in here still fast? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm sure we don't fast just from food. We can fast from all kinds. Give things up for a set amount so that we can feel closer to God. What about tithing? Giving ourselves to God fully and completely. Praying. Witnessing to our faith, through the words that we speak and the actions that we perform. Service, truly giving ourselves for others. Worship, coming together. I mean, that's one of the main ways we as Christians keep the fire going. We come around other Christians. Coming and participating in Holy Communion. I mean, this list just goes on and on, my friends. Now, one of the wonderful things that we have as a church that's going to be happening for us is the story. And the story is we're going to be looking 31-week series. I get scared silly when I start thinking of a 31-week series of any kind. This is a 31-week series in which we're going to take the major themes of the Bible. We're going to preach about them, or I'm going to preach about them in church. Your pastoral staff is going to talk about them. You're going to go to Sunday school, and you're going to have an opportunity to learn more. You can be a part of a small group and learn even more. Our children and our youth are going to be a part of this. I mean, I have a vision in my mind of families coming to church. One family, you know, the parents coming to worship, kids going to Sunday school. Then they get in their car and they go home, and guess what? They can talk about the same scripture. Now, they may have looked at different aspects of that same scripture, but they're going to be able to have a discussion about it. That's a wonderful thing, families talking about the Bible. What do you think? Christians falling in love again with the Holy Word of God. And if you want to start a fire, my friends, that's how you do it. You get back to the basics. It's just that simple. And that's what we need to do. And that's what we are going to do. On September 15th, we're going to kick this off. We're going to start new groups around this. We're encouraging every Sunday school class to be a part of it. We're not making anybody do anything. Because once you start making people do stuff, then it's not about grace. Right? Okay, I take that back. We are making our youth and children to do it. All right? Well, this is something we're going to move through together as a congregation, as people who understand the importance of getting back to the basics, of rekindling our fire and our passion for Jesus Christ. You know, there's a story told about a pastor who went to see a parishioner who hadn't been in church for quite some time. It must have been up north somewhere, because it was where it snows and gets really cold. So the pastor drove through the snow out to this parishioner's house, got out of the car and went over and knocked on the door. Parishioner opened the door and said, "Pastor, don't say a word. I don't want to hear it." The pastor said, "I tell you what, I won't say anything, but it's really bitterly cold out here. Could I come in? Could I just warm myself by your fire before I leave?" The parishioner said, that'd be fine. Come on in. Came in, he took his coat off, took his gloves off. He went over to the fireplace, and it was a roaring fire. It'd been going for a while because you could see the red-hot coals that were there. Pastor picked up the tongs, and he grabbed one of those red-hot coals. And he moved it away, still in the fireplace, but away from the rest of the coals. And over a matter of minutes, that red-hot fire in that coal began to dull. It began to go black, lifeless. And then he reached back over, and with those same tongs, he picked up that exact same coal, and he put it right next to the fire. He put it right next to the other coals. And what do you think happened? It came back to life. It started to glow again, that beautiful red and orange. The pastor had warmed himself, put his gloves on, his coat on. He began to leave. His parishioner came up and said, "Pastor, thank you for that fiery sermon. I'll see you in church on Sunday." My friends, when I ask that question, are you on fire for Christ? Are you on fire for Jesus? Really is one we ought to be asking ourselves daily. And really, there's no judgment. There's no judgment when we say, you know, my fire is not what it used to be. It happens. The question is, what are you going to do when you figure out that fire isn't what it used to be? Are you going to tend to it with the Holy Spirit's help? Are you going to reacquaint yourself with some of the habits and the things that you did in the past? Even though you know you're going to do some old things, you're going to be open to the Holy Spirit doing something new in you. Because let me tell you something. If we can be a church made up of folk, of individuals who are on fire for Christ, if we can be on fire for Christ, then we're going to do amazing things in our community and in our world. On this day, it's not Jason asking the question. It's the Holy Spirit. Are you on fire for Jesus? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.